I'm Jerry Wayne Longmire, and this is the Wrecking Yard Podcast. If you're already familiar with my work, fantastic. If you ain't, that's okay, too, because this don't have anything to do with anything I've done before, and I don't really like to waste energy talking about stuff I already did. I'll be 47 in a month, and I created this series to kind of explore where my love for automobiles and mechanical things comes from. I mean, is it just environmental? I mean, I was raised in a junkyard, but I know a lot of folks that come from that same environment that didn't grow up, you know, really caring about cars and stuff. I mean, could it be genetic? I don't know. I'm no biogeneticist. I do know there's a lot of good wrenches in my family, and we seem to have an aptitude for the Church of Internal Combustion. I don't know. I'm hoping by writing about it and talking about it, we just sort of suss it out along the way. But the way this works is I'll be tackling a different vehicle or mechanical item on every episode, and we'll certainly talk about the wrecking yard more, too. That's what they called it when I was young. I thought they were saying wrecking, like, I reckon, you know, because my papaw, he was a cranky old curator of this place, but anytime somebody, like, offered to buy something from him and they didn't offer him enough money, the old man would sort of scratch his chin and go, I reckon I might gonna do something with that one day. And then, and likewise, if somebody asked you if you want to sell something, you always, well, I reckon I might, you know. And so when I was a kid, I thought it was called the wrecking yard because I thought that's where Papa did all his reckoning. Of course, no, now these days it's wrecking and, yeah, it's just another name for a junkyard. But in my mind, that little patch of land that I grew up on off Sexton Road will always be the wrecking yard. Now, I'm not going to be taking requests and stuff for cars to talk about on here because it's more about my journey and some special vehicles and mechanical things I run across in my life that I think may have led me down this path. But in the future, I would like to read some comments out loud and talk about feedback. But this is a flagship episode. We ain't got none yet, so let's just jump in. Now, I decided to release this on Father's Day only because the first car I wanted to talk about on this series was a car my father had when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And it's one of the first cars that I really remember striking me in some deep, you know, connected way. It was a 1971 Dodge Charger. Now, 1971 ain't a banner year for Chrysler, but it's not really a banner year for anybody. Everybody's feeling the heat. We got the fuel shortages and stuff coming up. The emission stuff is on the way. It's a rough time in automobile design, and nobody will ever, the third-gen Charger will never be as popular as the second-gen Charger. That's a given, right? The second-gen Charger, that's your Dukes of Hazzard, right? Made a huge famous. And then old Leadfoot Buddy Baker scared the piss out of NASCAR with one in Talladega in 1970. So but the third-gen Charger is probably my favorite, you know? It's, we'll get into some of the technical stuff of it now. And this isn't, I'm not here to present you with the know-all, be-all about every car or whatever car I'm talking about. If I get something wrong, I got it wrong. It's probably not going to affect anything in the grand scheme of things. I know the Charger was a B chassis car, and it was never intended to compete with the pony cars. In fact, the CEO of Chrysler at that time was a dude named Lynn Townsend, and an accountant who had risen up through the ranks of Chrysler, and he was not a car guy. But he had saved Chrysler already at one point with a bunch of cost-cutting measures and efficiency measures. And if that sounds familiar, it's because Lee Iacocca had to come back and do it again in the 1980s and save Chrysler again the same way. Only difference is Lee Iacocca, very much a car guy, and we'll talk more about him later. I'm actually a big fan. But Lynn Townsend was not a car guy. In fact, he thought that pony cars were for kids, and that grown-ups and mature men would appreciate a performance package with a little luxury and a little more room. He wanted to focus on mid-sized personal cars. I mean, it wasn't wrong. The Mercury Cougar turned out to be a huge success in that market. And the third-gen Charger sold really well because that was also at the same time they got rid of the two-door Coronet. I think it disappeared for about 5 years. But the Charger came in about 6 different trim packages, if I remember right, and you could get just about every engine on the lineup from a slant 6 to a 426. Even though they're not the most popular Charger, it's probably my favorite body that was ever put on the Charger. The semi-fastback rear window lines and that little duck lip spoiler. And it had hips, you know? She looked mean. I remember when that 2008 Dodge Challenger came out, and I thought, holy hell, y'all gave that car the wrong name, right? Because it looked more like that Charger to me. I remember it. I was probably about 4 or 5, first time he drug an old dark green Charger into the driveway. Oh, she was a beast. Of course, she wasn't running or running worth a flip, you know, just barely hanging on by a thread. I think that was probably about 1981, 1982. I just remember liking it. I just remember the first time I saw that car, I liked it. It had a spoiler on it like a race car. Didn't nobody else's daddy have no spoiler like a race car, you know, on their car? This is small town East Texas in the 80s. Everybody else's daddy drove an old Ford or Chevrolet pickup or a Dodge. But, my dad was a draftsman, which he didn't make a lot of money being a draftsman, but it did afford him the freedom to drive whatever kind of car he wanted to back and forth to work, without needing a pickup to tote tools around in. And my dad was a hell of a wrench, and one of the few guys in the county that really knew their way around VWs and air-cooled engines. In fact, folks used to bring their trike projects and their VWs around for him to tinker with on the weekends. And he drag raced and stuff before I was born, you know, street and strip. And he had all kind of stuff. He had a Cosworth Vega and I think a Hemi powered Jeep at one time and IROC Camaro. The guy loved cars, but I think in his heart of hearts, if he's one of us being honest about it, I think my daddy's a Mopar man. I say that because I never seen any engine make him smile like a big block 383, right? And I never heard him cuss a car more nicely than when he was working on a Chrysler. He was a little gentle with a Chrysler. He had a GTX before I was born that is the subject of a great deal of family lore still to this day. Now, my dad's Charger was a little different because it had the 360 paired up with a little Torque Flight 904, which the 360 was pretty much a truck power plant at the time. I always thought it was funny that the 318 and the 351 Windsor and the 350 small block Chevrolet get compared all the time, and they leave the 360 out because it's a much better comparison in terms of power, bore, and stroke. And one of the things that made the little Red Express such a cool pickup was that tuned little 360 power plant it had. By the time my dad got that car, it was about a decade old already, and it had been driven pretty hard. Boy, he tore that engine down to nothing. Rebuilt it with a gasket kit and the resources of Papa's wrecking yard right there in our backyard. He was real good with heads. My dad could take a set of heads on the back porch. He didn't have no $500,000 shop full of machining equipment and all this kind of nonsense. He'd just sit on the back porch and lap valves with a Black & Decker drill and patience. He put stiffer springs on them and opened those heads up with nothing more sophisticated than maybe a homemade depth gauge and a Mitutoyo caliper. And this ain't like now. You couldn't just order you a set of pistons off the internet or whatever. You had to go out there in the junkyard and salvage pistons out of other old small block Chrysler blocks and work those pistons until you got the same compression. I feel like I watched him do it 100 times, you know. He was so methodical. It didn't matter what it was. It'd be a washing machine or a car, but he would tear it down, clean the parts all up, repair or replace any broken parts that he finds, and then he'd figure out what he could do to improve the whole mess before he put it back together. I can't even tell you what horsepower that old Charger had. All I can tell you is when he got the engine back together and tuned it up, that thing growled like a race car. Was it fast? Not by today's standards. Your neighbor's Camry would probably wax that thing. I don't even know that it was fast by 1980s small town Texas standards, but she wasn't no slouch. And absolutely the fastest car I had been in at that point in my young life. We lived on a little oil road called Sexton Road. It's a curvy little number. It climbs up and down hills and winds through miles of towering pine trees and barbed wire cattle land. I was just tall enough at that age to sit in that front seat and just kind of barely look out over the top of that window. He'd back out of that driveway just a rumbling. Boom, 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 boom. See, for those of you that don't know, an oil road is just a dirt road that the oil companies dumped byproduct and tar on top of and steamrolled back in the 30s and the 40s. And what happens, man, you get in a Texas July and it gets real hot, that oil road gets soft enough. I mean, so soft that you can see your BMX tires in it. It just gets a little soft, you know? Boy, when he'd drop that torque flat and drive and hammer that go pedal, there wasn't a bunch of spinning tires and carrying on. He'd crank them torsion bars up just a little bit, and them old junkyard 60 series tires would grab a hold of that molten oil road, and the whole front end of that car would ride up like you just floored it on a John boat. I'd look out that window just eye level, watch pine trees and barbed wire turn into a blur until he had to dive bomb that front end to a curve with the brakes on. When he come out of them curves, it'd feel like the front of the car was still trying to find a tree over here, but the only thing on that rear end's mind was instant forward propulsion. It's kind of like being in a late model dirt track curve coming out of turn three, you know, just that, you know, just that instant pull. Like a lot of men with responsibilities and children, there came a time when he had to part ways with her. He'd been transferred to a valve company in Houston, Texas, and he was having to drive 5 hours each way back and forth every week for work, and that's no trip to make in an ailing 70s gas guzzler. You know, me and my dad, we haven't always got along. Our relationship's been full of struggle, especially as adults. And we're working on it, but sometimes it's easy to overlook a lot of the sacrifices and things he did for our family. You know, driving 10 hours every week back and forth just so you have a job and put food on the table, giving up cars you love or cars that you cared about. He had to travel all the time. He used to go to Indonesia a lot, work overseas, and it's easy to forget that stuff when you're mad at somebody and you're not really thinking about everything they did for you. You know, whether me and him have ever agreed on everything, I can tell you this, he sure done a lot for me, and he sure done a lot for my mama, and he sure done a lot for my sister. And kind of like a side quest note, the funny thing is he asked Papa to sell that car for him while he was traveling and busy. And my Papa sold that old 1971 Dodge Charger, which was still running pretty hot. And the pair of boys that showed up and bought that car out of my Papa's driveway literally backed out of the driveway, saw a liquor store on the corner, and went on a robbing spree in that car. I didn't get 100 foot from the old man's driveway before they were knocking over a gas station. You know, we need gas money. And then they hit I-20 from Kilgore and started heading to Dallas, knocking over convenience stores and liquor stores, and didn't stop until they got in a little bit of a shootout and abandoned the car at a gas station there in Dallas. My dad said the DPS called him to go out there and pick up the car, and he got out there, and right away, walking up the car, seen it had a bullet hole or two in it, and boy, that old 360 was just toast. They had just cooked that little small block booger. And he said the rest of the car looked like it had been used filming a Dukes of Hazzard episode. So he said he didn't have the means or resources to do anything about it, so he just took the title in there and signed it over to that fellow that owned the gas station, told him he could sell it for scrap or whatever, pay for the damages them boys did. So, if you know anybody in Dallas got a really cool 1971 dark green Dodge Charger with maybe a bullet hole or two in it, hit me up. It's got a cool backstory. I hope some of y'all enjoyed this. We're going to keep going until we... So did we find out what makes me tick? No, but we know my dad's heavily involved, right? And I know it's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there already doing this impossible job we try to do. And certainly a very happy Father's Day to my father. And a big thank you for all the stuff you did give up for me along the way over the years. Now, I know this ain't going to be for all of you, and that's okay. I have no delusions that this will reach the audience that some of my more simple concepts like truck astrology and shop talk will. But I'm trying to find the people whose brain works like mine so we can discover what's next for us. I mean, we started out with a pretty decent car this time, but next month, I don't know what to tell you. It might be something different. It may be an old airplane. It may be just some mechanical thing. I can tell you for sure there's at least one A-body GM dinky little four-banger car in this series. But it meant something to me. The only thing I can guarantee you is that we will be discussing something mechanical that impacted my journey thus far. Now, if you did enjoy this, please do me a favor and mash that like button. Please leave me a comment with some feedback. On a future episode, I'd like to have a little segment where I can respond to comments and whatnot. And I'd love to hear your feedback. Unless you're just coming to tell me this is stupid and you don't like it. And then I'm not really concerned with what you think. Because if I based everything I do off people that say stuff like that, I'd never do anything. And neither will they. From my wrecking yard to yours, I hope you have a great day. See you next time. I love you, and I'm JW.